All right, let's see how many of you have a good memory. This morning we talked about the fact that God wants us to say yes to three things. Who can tell me one of those three things? What's one of them? What was the first one? Say yes to wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 1, turn there with me. God wants us to learn to say yes to some things and no to some things. He wants us to say yes to wisdom. And the very first thing he talks about, why he wrote this great book of Proverbs, is that he wants us to get wisdom, which is seeing life from God's point of view and living skillfully, living in the view of eternity, living in the view of how God looks at life. And so to do that, we need wisdom. Now to get wisdom, we need the second thing. We need the fear of the Lord. So if I'm going to look at life through God's viewpoint, I need to reverence God. I need to put God in his right place. I need to get me in my right place. I'm not the creator, he is. I'm not the master, he is. And so I need the fear of the Lord if I'm to have wisdom. Then, with wisdom and the fear of the Lord as a foundation, the last part of the scripture that we looked at this morning talked about God's view of marriage and the home, the family. We need that foundation block. It's being attacked today. And we need to hold on to that truth. Don't be intimidated, though people want you to be intimidated, that the Bible is still true. God knows what he says when he built this building block of marriage. I was watching on TV, Federer, who I love his books on history and our Christian godly history that we have in America. And he was talking about the fact that the goal to promote homosexuality is not just to bring it out of the closet, but it's to put the Christians in the closet. In other words, we're going to make this the right thing, and if you speak against it, you're wrong and you need to be silenced. And that's where we're headed. Well, it's always been spiritual warfare, and Satan is not so subtle right now. At times in the past, he's needed to be subtle, but he's got an open pathway to bring error and confusion to people's minds. But God's word hasn't changed, and God is true. Now, I'd like us to take a minute right now and just talk about your little assignment for tonight, okay? And that is, if we're going to say yes to wisdom, to fear of the Lord, to God's view of things, then we need to be putting God's word into our mind, because our culture, the media, Hollywood is going to put a different worldview into our mind. And if we're going to think God's thoughts, it's going to be a choice we make. It's a choice that we have to renew our mind, to put off the old, to renew our mind, and to think biblically. So all of us are busy. And as we looked at that little diagram this morning, the Christian life is not just a checklist of do this and do that. It's a relationship. And God invites us. God is at work in the world. He invites us into a relationship with him. And that's what accepting Christ is. Is we believe on Jesus, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we repent of our sin, Christ comes into our life, his Holy Spirit indwells us. Now, God is inviting us daily into a relationship of listening to him and talking to him and joining him in his word. And so when he speaks to us through his word and we talk to him through prayer, there's an adjusting of our life to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want to direct my path today? And as we obey God, we are joining God in his work, and we actually experience God in our daily life. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. And many of you are experiencing that in a real full way. Others of you are newer, or you've been struggling. I remember growing up in this Bible-believing church and hearing, I ought to read my Bible and pray. And I would sometimes, and I didn't sometimes. And it was a process of learning that it's not just read your Bible, it's hear from God. Let God talk to your heart. And you talk to God. And that became more real to me, perhaps when I got into my college years and just started to put aside time to actually read my Bible myself, not just have other people read it to me, but read it myself and then talk to God in prayer. Now, I know some of the boys and girls here already are starting to have a God and I time. Many of the teenagers here, you're starting that. That's starting to become a way of life, not something that you don't enjoy doing, but something you do because you know it's right. And then because of that time with the Lord, God's becoming more meaningful to you in your life. You really are developing a relationship with him. All right, who will start us off with one thing that has helped you to get something from the Bible. And I'd like this to be from someone who is 21 or younger. Okay? Let's start with the younger and then we'll go to the older. Who will share? Somebody 21 or younger, right over here. Okay? One way you hear from God speaking is when they share with you. That's great because that's a parent's job, isn't it? Parents are supposed to be teaching the Word of God. So that's great. So I hear from God through my parents. I like it. Good. All right, what's another one?
Awana.
Yeah, Awana. Man, you guys get to learn all these verses. I've had a lot of people tell me as adults, those verses are still with me my whole life. So Awana, those verses, hiding them in your heart. Great. All right, somebody else back here. Okay, I'm going to get that. Have you say it one more time with that mic. Use the mic so we can all hear you.
The new Bible curriculum for Sunday school.
Yeah, I love it. I love that curriculum. It is so good. It's so practical. And it's helping us to understand the Bible, isn't it? To really understand the Scriptures. All right? Somebody else, 21 or younger, here.
Mr. Singletary, sixth grade.
Oh, Mr. Singletary gave you a devotional book. That's a good Sunday school teacher. Good. Do you remember what the name of it is? Josh McDowell's Youth Devotional for Kids. There are tools, aren't there? There are devotional tools that help you to get something out of your Bible reading. There's a good one. So if you're taking notes, that's a good one to think about. It sounds like it's helping you. All right. Somebody else, 21 or younger, what's helped you? Yeah.
School.
Just being in a Christian school is awesome, isn't it? Because you're hearing about Jesus, you're hearing about the Bible. That's great. Good. Yes.
Upward.
That's great. You have Christian coaches, you have devotionals. There's another way. All right, good. Somebody else. We're blessed. We have a lot of ways, don't we? Yes.
It may seem kind of strange, but it's actually my fears have helped me because I've always been afraid of little things like the dark and stuff since I was little. But then I've gotten older and it seems my fears have grown more intense. And as I get these fears, it's taught me to depend more on him. And then looking for scriptures on my fears, I've then also seen a few other things about dealing with my siblings and other issues I have.
Now that is great. Taking an area where we have a weakness or a problem and finding Bible verses that speak to that. And then you can hold on to those. Do you know what? It's not just young people who have fears. Older people have them, right? And my mother, after my dad went home to heaven, she'd always been able to depend upon him. He was there. He was just a strong spiritual leader. And as she got older, hey, guess what? They've said this, but it's true. Getting older is not for wimps. You know, I mean, it's just tough. As you get older, you can't do all the same stuff you could do. You know, my mom, she started to have some fears. And she made up on 3x5 cards what she called her anti-fear verses. And she put them all over the house. She put them by where she did the dishes, and she put them, and she had these anti-fear verses, and she did just what you suggested. Found verses that spoke to a need in her life, and it made the Word of God real to her, because it wasn't just a theory you're hearing out here. It was truth. It was life-changing truth that applied to her. Great idea. Excellent. Anybody else, 21 or younger, something that's helped you? Back here, yes.
I always find it helpful when I have devotions to ask specific questions.
Yes.
That way I can have a real conversation.
Excellent. And you know, that fits in again with our Sunday school curriculum of how you study your Bible. Ask questions. Who, why, what, when, where. And like when you were saying, when you have your devotions, how can I apply this to my life? What is this saying to me? Asking yourself those kind of questions really causes you to get something from it. Excellent suggestion. Good. Anybody else? Have we drained the brains of the 21-year-olds here and younger? All right. Okay, let's go to the over 21 now. I mean, this should, you know, we should have a lot to add here now, folks, because we have years of experience. Remember, we talked today about the simple. Well, you know, you're past the simple now. All right, so help me out. What's one thing that's helped you to get something from God through His Word? 21 or older.
This past year as a family, we picked a Bible reading plan. And so we were able to encourage one another to stay consistent in the reading every day.
Excellent. Have a plan. and do that as a family. Excellent. Now, by the way, did you know that out in the gallery we have a Bible reading plan? There are other ones out on the internet and so forth, but you can look out there and there's a plan that will get you through the year. You can go through the New Testament in a year. You can go through the whole Bible in a year. But get a plan. Great suggestion. What's another idea? 21 or older. What helps you to get something out of the Bible? Yes. Excellent. Take on a responsibility of ministering to others. Teach a Bible study. Teach a small group. Or take the leadership with a group where then you have to... Who gets the most out of the study? Always the teacher. Because they have to dig in deeper. They have to work at it ahead. Excellent. Great idea. Good. Other suggestions. What helps you to get something out of the Bible? I mean, there's a million of them, right, adults? You are smarter than you're putting on. All right?
Researching things that you don't understand.
Great. All right, an area that you don't understand, taking the time to research it. Get out a concordance. Look up verses on that. Get a study Bible. Look up the notes on that passage. Research it. Study it. Get a commentary. Excellent. That helps. Great. Other ideas. What helps you? Yes.
Perhaps like a favorite preacher. And I've just been going through the book of Hebrews with a specific preacher that I enjoy listening to that digs really deep, and then going through every day one sermon that he's recorded over that on the internet. So.
Excellent. We today have such great resources. You know, all the services here are in the internet. You can go download them anytime, but there's all kinds of things out there on sermonaudio.com. You can look up by a topic. You can look up by a text. You can look up by a speaker. And sometimes God really uses somebody, and there's how they communicate, connects with you, or their faithfulness to the Word of God or whatever, and you can be mentored, you know, 24/7. That's available to us. That's a wonderful resource. I remember when we were remodeling the kitchen, that's always an exciting project to take on and remodel your kitchen. And I just got out the laptop sometimes when it was just doing tedious things and tune into sermonaudio.com and listen to some sermons and turn that baby on and let it roll while you're working. So there's so many. God, that's a great idea. Okay, any other ideas on how to get something out of the Bible? Back here.
You've already mentioned that it is a relationship, and in relationships, it's important to know what a person likes and what they don't like. So one of the fascinating things, it's already been mentioned, but a concordance will help you do this and other tools, but see the themes that God brings out in his word of things that he loves, things that he's encouraging you to do, and things that he doesn't like and for you to avoid. And so you're understanding the nature of God, what he likes and what he doesn't like. Then there's the study of God and see the different attributes of God as he presents himself to us. Those are different ways that somebody mentioned you go in with a purpose. Those are some things to look for, and it's exciting and it's fascinating.
Amen. That is great. Somebody just shared that testimony with us similar to what you shared, John, and that is that as a family, they started a family journal in going through the Psalms, and their study question was this: what do I know about my God? And so as they went through the Psalms, they would find, what are things that I know about my God? He's all-loving. He's all-powerful. He's pure. He's holy. And just studying that from that perspective of answering that question, what do I know about my God? Because I need to know my God. Great. Good. Good suggestion. All right? Anybody else? These are good. Good things. Yes?
Mm-hmm. You have devotional tools like Days of Praise, which we have in the gallery.
Yeah.
A little deeper than Daily Bread, which I like that one too. But then Oswald Chambers is... has the one that is goes a lot deeper and takes just a part of a verse or a passage and really expounds upon it. So there's some godly men over the years that have much more insight than what we might have on a passage. It causes you to stop and think about some things that you might not otherwise thought about a certain passage.
Okay, so using devotional tools. We love Morning and Evening by Spurgeon, Oswald Chambers, Daily Bread, Days of Praise. Using a devotional tool where someone's already put some thought into a text and they teach you from it. and it blesses your heart. You're in a rush, you're in a hurry, but you pause and your soul is fed. Great suggestion, great idea.
A roundabout way, but talking to God when you're not praying.
I know that doesn't really make sense, talking to God when you're not praying, because you are praying. But we often have times of prayer, and that's when we talk to God.
Yeah.
But it was in a book that Nicole and I were reading kind of together throughout this past year, and talking to God throughout the day. And whatever you see concerning his creation, or it might be in relationships, or it could be in your everyday experiences, and just simply say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that experience. Turkey this morning crosses the road in front of us on our way. We slow down, we're safe, but we also thanked Jesus for the big Tom that we saw.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jesus. And then when it comes to reading the Word, it isn't just, sometimes it can be mundane passages, or it's this, well, I know this already, or, but you're really, because you're communicating with someone throughout the day, when you come to their love letter, you see it as a love letter, not just a book with a lot of stories in it, but more or less, this is written for me and to me. So just that, this past year, even, well, maybe 6 months or so with Nicole, just saying thank you, Jesus, throughout the year and throughout the day at different times has really, in talking to him throughout the day, has just really focused our hearts on the relationship aspect of our relationship with him. And then when we come to his word, it just, I don't know, comes to a different, more seeking not just what we can learn, but how we can dig into a better relationship with him through his word, I guess.
Excellent. Well, that's a great transition here. We got to talk a little bit now about prayer. And so we're back to the 21 and younger, okay? What's something that has helped you to pray in a meaningful way? What's one thing that's helped you to talk to God? Prayer's just talking to God, isn't it? It's not fancy words. You don't have to be in a church. You can talk to God anywhere. What's one thing that helps you to talk to God? Because though that isn't exactly what we'd think of as formal prayer, Paul mentioned a great concept there, and that is every day, just every day, looking for things to thank God for, okay? All right, give me, 21 or younger, one thing that helps you to talk to God. What's one thing? Is this one a little harder? Yeah.
Not necessarily trials, but like more decisions, especially now being a senior this year, after graduating. Where am I going to go to college?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? That kind of thing. And just throughout my high school years, especially different major decisions that you have to make, they turn you back to God. But then you realize that he doesn't want you to just pray for, you know, all of a sudden something comes up and you know, oh God, I haven't talked to him for 3 months. But it's supposed to be something every day in the little things that don't seem significant that he still wants you to just communicate.
Absolutely. So talking to God ahead of time about things that are coming down the pike in your road, in your life. How many of you boys and girls and young people have ever prayed for the person that you're going to one day marry? Have you ever thought about that? You should start praying that way. Because if you're a guy, there's a girl out there that God's preparing for you two to be a team, and vice versa. If you're a girl, there's a guy out there. You need to be praying for them, that they'll keep their life pure, that they'll live for God, that they'll love God with all their heart, that they'll do what's right. And you know what? I prayed for her a long time before I met her. And I'm so thankful for that. My parents taught me you need to be praying about the person that someday you will marry. You don't have to spend hours doing this, but you know, from time to time, say, Lord, wherever that person is, bless them right today. Help them. All right? That's one thing. Great. Pray about things coming down the road in your life ahead of time. Good. Somebody else. What's one thing that's helped you, 21 or younger, to pray? Yes.
My schoolwork and my difficulty with my siblings, I learned that it helped me to learn that there are things in life that you need to pray about. And I prayed about my schoolwork, and it began it began to help me. And so my schoolwork's helped me to pray, and my difficulty with my siblings has helped me to pray for them, as well as for that the relationships will get better. And so I'm glad that I had some difficulties to help me to rely more on him.
Okay, now that was pretty mature comment. I will have to admit that I don't know that I prayed a lot for my sisters in my relationship with them. I should have. And you bring up a very good point. A very good point is problems in our life. Take the problem and turn it into prayer. God, how can you work through this? How can you work good out of this? And you bring up a very, very good point, and that's a very mature way to pray, is, Lord, help me not to fight with my siblings. Help me not to attack them. Help me attack the problem. Maybe we have a problem in our communication. Show me how to work on fixing that problem and show them how to fix that problem and help us to have a good relationship. That's a great way to pray. That's excellent. Good. Somebody else. Yes. Okay. Whatever you do, pray, God, help me to do this for you. So that's kind of like that joining God, isn't it? It's not just me out here doing my thing. It's I want to join God. I want to glorify God in my homework, in my studies, in everything that I do. I want God to be seen and God to get praise from it because I love him. That's great. Okay, any other ideas? Yes, back here. Okay, to pray about the issue of sometimes friends around us don't always do the right thing, and to pray for them, and to pray that we'll do what's right. And that is a good way to pray. And that fits in exactly with what we're going to talk about tonight from Proverbs. So thank you. Did I ask you to say that? No, I didn't, but that is true. Pray for your friends, the friends that are living for God, that they'll keep living for God. But the ones that maybe are not living for God, that they will. And pray for them. That's excellent. Okay, any others? 21 lower, what helps you to pray? What helps you? You know what helped me to pray when I was 21 and younger? Taking my BB gun, going for a walk across 3 Mile Road, and sitting down in the woods. And I had a little New Testament with me. And just as a boy, I would read my Bible out in the woods. And that was a great environment to pray. Because there's something about it. I just don't know how God wired us, but you see these birds and these trees and all those things. And it made it easy to pray. It just made it easy to talk to God because I could just see his creation and see how great he was and just being out there in the quiet and alone in nature. I don't recommend it when it's 0 degrees out, though, however, okay? So don't do this at home in 0 degree weather. Okay. Anyone else? What helps you to pray? 21 or younger, we'll shift gears to the older folks here. Okay, let's try it. 21 or older, what helps you to pray? What's one thing?
Well, definitely this year for me was health issues.
Yes.
I remember being in the emergency room once, and it was during church service, and David came over, and I just broke down. I was like, you know, does God bring the sickness? You know, and he's like, Mom, you know he doesn't. I'm like, I know, but the many days that I was in the hospital or at home by myself and praying and reading the Bible, trying to figure out, you know, if it's something I'm doing, you know, why do I keep getting all these things? And I just found out that I had to turn it back around and go, why am I not? You know, why am I so special? I should never have pain. And, you know, I always go back to that verse that, you know, he has plans for me not to harm me or hurt me. But sometimes, you know, you just think, that's enough. So this year it definitely has been the health issues that I've had that brought me to prayer and Bible and being witnesses in the hospital, you know, even having a Christian doctor, which was great because he prayed with me. I mean, that was really unusual. You know, when you're in there that long, you get to know them pretty well, and I started counseling him, so it was kind of fun.
Someone, Teresa, just mentioned that to me this morning, that Dr. Adams prayed with them before he did the surgery. What a blessing that was to them. that we have Christian doctors in this community and here in this church. What a blessing that is. And yes, thank God for it causes us to pray more. It's hard. But I had someone else share that same thing that you said, that, you know, I've had some real physical challenges this year, and it has caused me to go deeper with God. And that has helped me in my prayer life. Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Good. Somebody else, 21 or older, what helps you to pray? Anything else? Yes, Tom.
This year's mission trip.
Mission trip.
And being down with the people.
Seeing the people, being there, it's given you a whole new vision to pray for missions, hasn't it? Yeah, going on a mission trip is an awesome way to help cause us to pray more.
I think there's two things. One thing, the whole mentality that God is sovereign and in control of absolutely everything, every detail, to get that mentality cemented in our hearts. When anything happens in life, you'll immediately, start talking to him about it. And then even as a parent, as my children are getting older, the realization that God has brought that we can influence them a certain amount of years, and when they're younger, teach them obedience, and they have to obey, or there's a consequence and that kind of thing. But just the realization that as they get older, there are a lot of things that are heart issues that mm-hmm. as parents we cannot change in them, and that's definitely has caused me to go to him a lot more, even starting younger. just seeing that that realization that it's got to be him that does the work. I mean, that's true in our lives as well, but that's definitely something as my children are getting older, and that has caused me to spend a lot more serious time praying about. So
that's great. Seeing the needs in the lives of people we love and realizing only God can meet those deepest needs, and then praying about those needs. That's huge. That will grow our prayer life. That would just grow our prayer life. Anybody else on prayer? What helps you to pray? What helps you to pray? Any other suggestions? Right here.
I'd say a good example is older Christians in our life, that we have a pastor in Ann Arbor that we've known. He's 91 now, and we've met with him on during our break. And just to see his example, see your example, other people in our life who've demonstrated faithfulness throughout their life, and that prayer does work, prayer does have results, and it's important for us to continue to pray.
Godly examples. Somebody said we all need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Someone a little further in the road down that we're learning from them, someone kind of about where we are on the road, we can mutually encourage, and then someone younger. We all need those relationships, and we learn from each other, and sometimes the older learn from the younger. And so we all can help each other. That's a great way to grow in our prayer life. Good. Good. Yes, Pastor Mark.
I found just godly Christian music.
Yes.
Really helps in my prayer life.
Yeah.
It can set my heart in the right direction. Or especially songs that really are worshiping God. It's more of a prayer that will just stick with it throughout the day. And you know, we continue to have those songs come to mind. And not just in the humble tune, but to think about what we receive.
Godly Christian music puts thoughts and words in our hearts that often helps us to pray. It catches the theme, and we just are able to take that and worship God and talk to God about that. That's wonderful. That's a great help. That's a great tool. Okay, anybody else? Mm-hmm.
Just having the desire to know that God is directing our lives, not to be willful with what we think that we should do or that he would have us to do, but to truly have him open and close doors and to see that he works things out.
Okay. Submitting to God's sovereignty, submitting to his leadership, and trusting him in that. Excellent. Good. Anybody else? Up there. Yes. Excellent. A godly grandmother teaching Carolyn to journal. her prayers. And not that you have to journal everything, but write specific things down that you're praying about. And then when those answers come, write in those answers. And then when you're going through that dry spell and it seems like you're praying and you're not seeing anything happen, go back through your journal from time to time and look and see God's faithfulness, that it's not always on our time frame. But in his time frame, he does all things well. And that will really strengthen your prayer life, because the more you see those specific connections, you have not because you ask not. And by God's grace, you ask and you pray, and then God does it. And it strengthens your faith to ask more and to continue to pray more. Excellent idea. Journaling, prayer requests, answers, and even spiritual lessons that God is teaching you. That's a great tool. Anybody else? Okay. No. All right. Okay. I want you to turn in Proverbs 1, and I just want to briefly give you some thoughts. We talked this morning about learning to say yes. Yes to wisdom. Yes to the fear of the Lord. Yes to God's view of life, including marriage. Now tonight, I want to suggest to you from Proverbs 1, learn to say no. Okay? Now this is something parents need to teach. Learn to say no. Let's read the text here in Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, will sinners entice you or tempt you? Will that happen? Yeah, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. People who are sinners want other people to sin with them. Have you ever noticed that? And so sinners do entice. And sinners will succeed in pulling our children into wrong ways unless our children decide to seek after God. You were mentioning that. We have to pray for our own hearts. We have to pray for the hearts of our children. God, I can encourage them, but only they can decide, I will love God. I will seek wisdom. I will seek after God. And so the first thing we need to learn to do is say no to sinners' temptations in our lives. Are there temptations that come even to children? Or do you have to wait to get older to get tempted to sin? No. Because we have our own temptations out of our own heart, don't we? And we're tempted to be selfish. We're tempted to be mean. We're tempted to sin. We don't have to be taught that. We're tempted to lie. All those things. We have our own temptations, but we also have the temptations that will come from outside, from others. So we are to learn to say no ourselves to others who will tempt us, and we are to teach our children to say no. Notice verse 11. We need to say no to the temptation to hurt others. Verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those who go down to the pit. Now, are there really people in the world that get joy out of hurting other people? All right, give me an example. Where in the Bible were there some brothers who wanted to hurt their brother? Who was it? Joseph. And his brothers, they wanted to kill him. They so were jealous and so hated their own brother, they wanted to throw him in a pit and leave him there. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But you think about it, the human heart is wicked. The human heart is selfish. And we can say, oh man, murder? But yeah, Jesus said if you have hatred in your heart, you have murder in your heart. And I've shared with you before, I remember one time getting so mad at my sister when she tore my favorite shirt. I pushed her down the steps. Oh, I'm ashamed of it. Today, she could have been really seriously hurt. I had hatred in my heart. Well, you know what? Our hearts are all wicked. We need a new heart. That's why we need to get saved. And then we need the Holy Spirit to control our heart. And so this temptation to want to hurt other people, do kids even in school sometimes talk ugly about other kids? Treat other kids mean? Yeah, it's hatred. It's selfish hatred. It's wicked. It's right out of hell. And how about Daniel? Did he have some people that plotted against him? And they wanted to get him killed. They got the law passed that if you pray to anyone else, you're going to die. What was their goal? He'd pray to somebody else and he'd die. So are there people in the world that would plot murder? Yep. I mean, we just had a murder right here in Midland. That doesn't happen too often. And it was just on the news. And so, yes, the heart of man is wicked, and that's why I don't want to know how wicked my heart could be. I want to keep my heart where God wants it. Because my heart is wicked apart from Jesus. I need to walk with Jesus daily. We need to say no to the temptation to wrongly acquired things and possessions. You know what? I hate to admit this, but I will. I had a friend in this church who taught me to shoplift. And as a preacher's kid, I shoplifted some stuff. I'm ashamed of it today. And God convicted me. And later, I went back to those stores and I paid for those things. I could have got caught. Do you think that would have helped my dad's ministry if I'd got caught for shoplifting? I don't think so. But I was saved at the time. But I had a friend in the church who said he was saved. He wasn't. He had no evidence of a hunger for God. But he said, oh, it's so easy. Man, you get free stuff. Well, who doesn't want free stuff, you know? And I found out it was pretty easy. Yeah, but there's a consequence. You grieve your conscience. You grieve your conscience with God. And you short-circuit your relationship with God because stealing is wrong. Thou shalt not steal. And when I finally got serious with God and realized I need to go back and make that right. Boy, was that humbling. Oh, man, I didn't know when I walked back in those stores, are they going to throw me in jail? I walked in there crawling because I knew I needed to clear my conscience. I'd asked God to forgive me, but now I needed to go make it right. And, oh, once I got that taken care of, huh, I could walk on air. My conscience was clear again. I hadn't realized the price I'd paid. I'd paid a big price. My conscience wasn't right with God and with man. And so the temptation for wrongly acquired things, don't give in to that. Yeah, we all, at heart, we've got a greed part of us that wants more. We want more. We want more stuff. We want more things. Don't give in to that greed. Ask God, Lord, help me to be content with what I have. It's not wrong to work for stuff, but help me to get stuff rightly, that I earn, that I work for, and help me to be willing to wait until your timing. And if I never get that thing that I want, help me to find my joy in you, not in the stuff, because the stuff is all going to pass away, but my relationship with you will last forever. I'm praying for you, Richard. They just lost a bunch of stuff, had a flood in their basement, and all of a sudden, all this stuff, and we had that happen in our basement. It's no fun. But you do begin to realize this stuff is all helpful, but it will pass away someday. And we all have to manage stuff and not let stuff manage us. All right, the next one. Say no to the temptation for wrongly acquired acceptance. Look at verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us, and we'll have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood and lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now, what's the temptation here? The temptation here is, come join us. What is one of the biggest problems in the big cities is gangs. Young people are looking for acceptance. I want someone to like me. I want someone to include me. And so it is, we can oftentimes say, I want some friends, and our friends aren't doing the right thing. And so to be their friend, we got to do the wrong thing. And we go along with it. That's a wrong choice. And the admonition here is, it's a trap. You jump in with the wrong crowd and you do the wrong things, the trap will spring. And it will bring consequences in your life. The next thing, say no to an unteachable spirit. Verse 24, because I have called and you refuse, God says. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. But you have said it not, my counsel would none of my reproof. I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, distress and anguish comes on you. Then they shall call on me, I'll not answer, God says. They shall seek me early, they won't find me. For they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way. They shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now notice in verse 15, don't walk with them. You have to choose. who your friends are. Someone said, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. Well, you do need to pick your friends. You need to pick your friends. What I mean by that is this. Should you be friendly to everybody? Yeah. You should be friendly to everybody. You want to win lost people. You want to win people who aren't right with God. Love everybody. But do your close friends influence you? Absolutely. And if you become close friends with someone who isn't right with God and doesn't want to do what's right, are they going to pull you down? You better believe it. Now, let's do the leverage illustration. Pastor Mark, come on up here a minute. Mark is not walking with God. He is a backslidden, wicked guy. I'm trying to do what's right. No, you can remain. But I join hands with him. We're buds. Now, I'm going to pull him up, or is he going to pull me down? Who's got the leverage? He's got the leverage. And so you want to love people and do what you can to encourage them the right way, but don't become too closely tied with someone who's just going the wrong way and committed to it. Why? They're going to pull you down. Evil companions corrupt good manners. Illustration purposes only. All right. You get the idea, right? Be friendly with everyone, but your intimate friends will influence you, and you be careful not to become intimate friends with someone who's a fool. We're going to come to that in a minute. You know what a fool is? A fool. We're all sinners, right? We're all sinners. Some people are just simple sinners that it's no big deal that they sin, but then other people, they're making choices. They know better, and they're making those choices. Then there is the committed fool. I'm going my own way. I don't care what anybody else says or does. I'm going my way. When you meet that kind of person, pray for them, but only God can change them. And don't you get too closely associated. Why? They're going to pull you right down the drain. And it's better to stand all by yourself and stand alone, you and God, let Jesus be your best friend, than to get closely connected with someone, a guy or girl, doesn't matter. There may be, as you get into the dating time, the opposite gender. You've got to make some choices of who will be your close friends, and Jesus needs to be your best friend. All right, now, let's tie this together. We're going to say no to certain things in our life. Why? Because Proverbs is warning us, wisdom's ways. Life is about making choices, and I've got to discern in my life. I can't choose for you. I can encourage you, but you've got to choose for you. And you've got to discern. There are some things that don't belong in my life, and I'm going to say no to them. I'm going to take a stand for what's right, and I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's pleasing to God. And then finally, learn to say yes. To what? Look at verse 20. To wisdom's invitation. Wisdom cries out. She's uttering her voice in the street. She utters in the chief places, in the opening of the gates in the city, saying. So wisdom is pictured here as available. You want to do what's right? God is going to give you friends eventually. You stand for God, he'll bring some friends along that want to do what's right. It's better to have no friends than to have the wrong friends pulling you the wrong way. But if you do what's right, you'll attract what you are. And you'll end up marrying someone who's godly and wants to do what's right. And so learn to say yes to wisdom's invitation. Truth is out there. You have parents that love you. You have youth workers. You have people in this church that love you. Truth is available. It's your responsibility to embrace it. Learn to say yes to godly knowledge. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones? Now, here's the three kinds of sinners. We're all simple sinners. That's a simple one. Just naive, who love simplicity. And scorners delight in scorning. So the scorner is the second kind of sinner. They mock. They are determined to do some things that are wrong. And that was my friend Jim. He was determined to do what was wrong. But then notice this other one in verse 22. And fools hate knowledge. All right? Fools are committed to doing what's wrong. And you need to discern that. And when you realize this person's a fool, they are just committed to doing what's wrong. Pray for them, but you're probably not going to change them. Only God can change them. And it might take some heavy-duty things from God to ever get their head and their heart in the right place. The next thing, say yes to repentance for sin. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof, and I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words to you. Repentance brings blessing. Man, it was such a blessing in my life when I had some teaching on conscience, that you need to have a clear conscience. When you've done wrong, you need to get it right with God. You need to confess it. You need to turn away from it. You need to put it out of your life. Repentance is a key to the outpouring of the Spirit of God in your life. If you don't repent, you're not going to have blessing in your life. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes in response to repentance on our heart. The opposite's true in verse 24 through 26. That is, repentance brings blessing, but indifference and mockery brings God's wrath and his judgment. So say yes to a teachable spirit. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. When you're corrected, say, God, I need that. Help me. Help me. When the fur rubs the wrong way, this cat's turning around. You know, when I know I'm doing wrong, Lord, God, help me. I want to turn around. I want to do what's right. That's what repent means. Have a teachable spirit. Verse 33, say yes to godly safety, quiet, and protection. Here's God's promise. Remember we said this morning, honor and obey your parents. What's going to happen? What's the blessings you're going to get? One is long life. God's going to lengthen the years of your life, and it's going to be well with you. God's going to bless you. So you obey and honor. That's that circle of blessing. Well, now, here's another promise of blessing. Look at verse 33. Whoever hearkens to me, if you listen to wisdom, you say no to the wrong stuff, you say yes to the relationship with God, then you shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. You're going to have rest in your heart. You can have a clear conscience. You're going to be a happy person. You're going to have joy in the Lord. You know, why are some people just always in the negative, you know? They look like they're eating out of a gas, you know, out of the gas can in a car, you know? Their lips down. Why? Oftentimes, it's the relationship with God's not right. And we need to have a right relationship with God. Here God promises this is what he's going to do for you. Now, here's the closing. That means then you're saying no to what's wrong. You're saying yes to what's right. We won't just read, but read the verses. Chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, my son, receive my words. Hide the commandments. Incline your ear. Listen. Apply your heart. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice. Seek as for silver. Search for her as for hid treasures. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Do any of you get the Weather Channel, where they show these people who go mining and up in the mountains? I like to watch that because we used to live up in the mountains, and I always dreamed of climbing up in the mountains and finding all kinds of treasure. But they show these people doing, you know what? You got to be committed to go do that. I mean, you're going way up, and there's rock slides, and searching for silver isn't just a simple thing. It's something you work at. You know what? That's what God is saying. Do you want a life that's blessed? Then search for wisdom like you would search for silver. Make it a priority. Commit yourself to it. God, I want to walk in wisdom's ways, and I want to know you. Say no to the temptations, yes to God and his wisdom's ways. And I'll tell you what, aren't these proverbs practical? Now I want to just encourage parents. Something that we did, and I was so glad we did it, but we at different times used different things with our family. And at times, we used Teen Walk, and we'd read devotionals out of that. At times, we used character sketches. But one of the best things we ever did is we got a Bible for everybody. We had them right there at the table, so when the meal was done, we didn't have to be dismissed. We stayed right there, and we read the proverb for the day. And everybody read a verse. And as we read the verse, you can't go to sleep because your time's coming. You got to read the verse, okay? Then after we read the whole proverb, everyone would share, from the youngest to the oldest, what's one verse that spoke to you and what did it say to you? So you had to be thinking about what is God talking to me about from this proverb. We had some great conversations. We had sex education. Proverbs covers the subject. We had relational conflict education. how to resolve problems. We had fear of God, fear of man, the strange woman. All those issues are there. And it's great, and it's taught in the context of the home and the family. And so I just want to encourage you, young people, boys and girls, start early reading your Bible and praying. Get into the habit of that, of really getting something from God every day. Just one thought that you can take with you. And then parents, encourage that in the home, that we talk about God. We talk about the scriptures. We talk about these things. It's just part of life, because the book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom for those who will seek it. And I hope you'll seek for it like you do for silver, that it would be valuable to you above all other things. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, thank you so much for each of these men and women, these boys and girls who've come out on such a cold, snowy night. Lord, I thank you for faithful people who love you. And give us safety on the roads now, Lord. And above all else, we know people seek to go to work. They'll get up when it's snowy. People will sit out for hours in the cold at a hockey game. I just thank you for people who come to hear from God's word. And I pray that the time we've spent tonight here around Proverbs 1 will be life-changing. I pray that there'll be some of these boys and girls and some of these young people, that there will be a turnabout in their life where they'll go from hearing stuff that other people dig out of the Bible, and they'll start to mine out of the scriptures for themselves wisdom's ways. And that they will choose the way of the Lord. That they will choose to follow after God with all of their heart. No matter what any other friend does or doesn't do. That they'll walk with Jesus and love Jesus with all their heart. May that be true of every adult, every boy and girl, every young person. Now dismiss us with your blessing. Give us a great week. It's been great to be in God's house this first Lord's Day of the new year. May we walk with God in wisdom's way all through this year. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you.